We're now doing Parshas Kairach. Of course, we have the tremendous rebellion which echoes across the Dairis. Even Pirkei Avos tells us, Kol Machleika Shei L'Shem Shamayim, Sof Nizkayim, Kol Machleika Shein L'Shem Shamayim, Ein Sof Nizkayim. Machleikus is a terrible thing that can literally destroy Klal Yisrael. So we find that Moshe Rabbeinu, who was normally there for Klal Yisrael and very much pleading for them, making peace. I mean, even you'll see even here, Dasan Vaviram, he tries his best to reconcile with them. After, you know, remember, they're the ones who first got him in trouble, got him chased out of Mitzrayim. And then, nonetheless, when Moshe Rabbeinu sees a machlekes and he sees the flames of machlekes and how it can destroy the Klal Yisrael, he stands up like a lion and he fights back, which is very unusual. So, but he does, let's see how he does it. Let's learn a few psukim, and then Mishem, we're going to share four concepts from the Ben Ish Chai today. Each one is going to give us an insight into a different part of this amazing machlekes between Kairach and between Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayikach Kairach ben Yitzhar ben Koz ben Levi v'dosan v'aviran Yitz Kairach and Yitzhar ben Koz. Kairach ben Yitzhar and ben Koz and dosan v'aviran b'nei Eliyav v'ayin ben Pelz b'nei Ruvin. Of course, we have these enigmatic figures, dosan v'aviran, which we've spoken about in the past. Today we won't, but it's interesting to know why Moshe Rabbeinu was always reaching out to them. So we mentioned from the Arvei Nachal that every single Yid has people who have a special shaykhus in the neshama. It's like the front of a person, the back of the person. And those are people that he has like a neshama shaykhus to do something, to work with, to help. Sometimes you meet somebody, you feel a certain iskarvus to them, a certain closeness. And it seems in some way the neshamas of Dasav Aviram were linked to the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu never gave up on them. Until obviously at the end, when this is with the end, when they just went so far that you couldn't do anything. And I think it gives us a little bit of an understanding how to be Makarev, the Ben HaRosha, that although sometimes we have to speak strongly, but ultimately we don't give up, we keep trying and trying and trying, and which is what Moshe Rabbeinu did. They get up in front of Moshe. 400 Nesi'a Eda, 250 of the great men of the Eda, the princes, Kriyei Mayed, Anshei Shem, and it gives them great, these were not simple people, they were great people. So here we have, just to frame it, because it will come up, and we have Kairach, Dasav Aviran, Ayin Ben Pelas, and these 250 unnamed people, and which Rashi tells us mostly came from Shevet Reuven. And they were upset, and each one was upset about something. They were upset about the fact that they felt that why should Shevet Levi be special? Why shouldn't they be able to? They're Choshev people. Why should they not be able to bring the Korban? Why can't they bring the Machta? Why only Aaron Ubonov? It's not fair. After all, remember, there's a little bit of a something going on here because B'nai Reuven should have been the Kohanim. It was taken away from them, so they were upset. And Kairach was upset for a totally different reason. Kairach wanted to be the Nasi. So the truth is, we're going to ask that Kairach and they had a totally different agenda. Kairach's agenda was, I believe in the Levim should be the chosen Shevet to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I just want a bigger place within the Shevet of Levi. I want to be the Kohen. They were saying, we don't believe in Shevet Levi. We don't think Shevet Levi should be any different than any other Shevet. Every Shevet should have the possibility to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. Why should we have to go through Shevet Levi? So in essence, Kairach and the 250 men were at opposite ends. So the question is, how did they get together? What were they? They were in totally different places. We'll ask that. Although the Pashupshat is when it comes to rebellion, everybody joins together until they get rid of the people they're rebelling against. Then they fight with each other.
What happened in the war? Germany started, and
Right. I mean, today you have in Syria, you have the rebels now are starting to fracture because they don't want the regime for different reasons. So, but we'll see that. Mitzvah will ask the question. They were at odds. They call on Moshe Val Aaron. They grabbed against Moshe Vayomer Leim Rav Lechem. It's too much for you. Kikolam kulam gedoshim. The famous words, we're all holy. Psaich Hashem, Hashem is with him. Adu tisnas al kalasha. So now we get to our first vort. So Moshe Rabbeinu responds. Vayishma Moshe Vayibo, upon it Moshe Rabbeinu falls on his face, Vayidar v'lekarev v'kaladosu lemer, Baiker v'yaydas shemes ha-shaloi, v'esa kadosh v'hikri v'lov, v'esa sheyivchol v'yakir v'lov. He gives like this long, a little bit convoluted teretz. Listen to what he says. Let's see in the morning. In the morning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu let us know who he wants, ha-shaloi. And the Holy One, he'll draw near to him, and the one he chooses, he will draw near to him. So the question is, what is all this long arichas? What is this long expression? Why can't we just say, Hashem will decide? And furthermore, why did Moshe Rabbeinu want to wait till the morning? If this is a rebellion, you know, what we call in English the expression, we nip it in the bud. Moshe Rabbeinu should immediately have said, okay, that's it. We're going to make a test right now. You're not leaving here. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu let it go until the morning? So we've said in the past that he let it go because when we talk about anger, a person feels anger is coming on them.
Count
to ten. Let it cool off. So Pasha Pasha, Moshe Rabbeinu was hoping that overnight they would have time to think about it, they cool off, and they come to their senses. Obviously, it didn't happen because Kairach, it says the Chazal went around the whole night raising them on. He went the whole night instigating them. So let's see what the Ben Ish Chai says. It says, why did he wait till the morning? So he says, interesting. And he doesn't say, what does he say? Biker in the morning, V'yayid Hashem Hashem Shalai. So he says like this. Chazal tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu, Pnei Moshe, Pnei Chama. The face of Moshe like was the face of the sun. So what does that mean? So he says two pshatim. The first pshat he says is when you look at the sun, it looks very small. If you look up at the sun doesn't look so big. But the truth is, anybody who went to science classes knows the sun is hundreds of times bigger than the earth. So why does it look so small? The answer is it's far away. 93 million miles. It's a long drive. So therefore, if it's so far away, it appears small to us. So he says that's what Pshat, the Moshe was like the sun. Moshe was mighty like the sun, like you couldn't imagine. But because we're so far away from his level, we can't even imagine what it means to be Moshe Rabbeinu. And we can't imagine what it meant to be Reb Eliyashiv, right? We can't imagine what it meant to be Reb Moshe. We can't imagine what it means to be Reb Steinman. These are people who are living in our time when we're alive. So Kol Shekein, Moshe Rabbeinu was so far away from us, and in that sense, he's like the sun. So that's one Pshat he says. Then he says the second Pshat. That the truth is, the leadership of Klal Yisrael, there are two types of leaders of the Klal Yisrael, and they're nimshel to the sun. It says, the Talmud Chacham B'chol Dor is called Moshe. Moshe, when somebody's seen the Gemara, they say Moshe. That wasn't his name. It means he was a Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham, the leaders of our generation, they're called Moshe because they have a piece of Moshe in them, so to speak. They're the heirs, they're the spiritual heirs of Moshe Rabbeinu, so they're called Moshe. It says there's two types of leaders. One is like the Shemesh, B'gvurasai, as it says, Oyhav, Ketseis Hashem, B'gvurasai. They're Gvura. They are strong leaders. And they are like the sun. They're hot. Literally, they're hot. And they lead with such a way that can be very strong, can be terrifying for people. It says, Talmud Chacham has to be Noikav and Noitek and Nochash. It has to be like a snake, strong. That's one type of leader of Klal Yisrael. The other type of leader of Klal Yisrael is in the meat of Chesed. He's also like the sun. But you know when he's like the sun? He's like the sun in the morning. Before it gets hot. When the sun is overhead, especially if you live in the Middle East, if you've ever been in Eretz Yisrael, the sun by daytime, you can't even stand outside. You have to go get covered somehow because it's so intense. In the morning, though, the sun is beautiful. It's so gorgeous on the horizon. And it gives light. The world seems a better place. It lights up. It's warm in a very comfortable, warm way. And in that sense, that's the type of leader that is also like the Shemesh. But he leads with warmth, with a warmth that's not an overwhelming warmth, but with a quiet warmth, a warmth that is a pleasant warmth. And that's the second type of leader of Klal Yisrael. So he says, this was what did he say? What did Kairos say? You know, how is it? Maisha, you're the Melech. Aaron's the Kohen Gadol, their sons of the Zagani Kohen. You know, why did you choose these people? What right? What qualifications do they have that you chose them? You know, we should have an election. Everybody can run. Kalam Kalum Kadosh. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? So Moshe Rabbeinu answered him back and he says as follows. Beautiful. Biker v'yaydas Hashem ha'shaloi. It's in the morning Hashem will know. Hashem wants a Talmud Chacham, he wants a leader like a biker, like the morning. When the sun is just the right warmth, the sun is brings light and it brings the right type of warmth. V'as ha'kadosh, and the kadosh, Aron HaKohen is such a kadosh, he gave love, he brought Aron Nirim. V'as ha'sher yivcher bai, and those who he chose, meaning the sons of Aron Yaakov Eloi, those are the ones who are all drawn to him. Because they all have that midah, the midah of the biker, of the morning, of the Talmud Chacham is kebiker. Not ketseis ha'shemesh begurasim, who goes out with strength, full strength, but it's like the biker shemesh, like the morning shemesh. And in truth, Moshe Rabbeinu is referring to himself, but because he was an anav, he said it very quietly. Hakadosh v'yikrev elav, the Holy One that he draws near him, that's Aaron. As Hashivchav, both the ones that he chose, that's his sons. Biker v'yayda, the biker, the Talmud Chacham's biker, that's Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, as we said, this was unusual for him to come out with such starkeit. Normally Moshe Rabbeinu was like the sun of the morning sun, and the morning sun is the sun of healing, and the sun of warmth, and the sun of love, and that was Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu answered him why these are the right choices for the leadership of the Jewish people. Let's go on to Perek Tez Zayin, Pasuk Chav Aleph, moving along in the story. So we know what happens. Is Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, here we go. In the morning, we're going to make this test, but something happened on the way to the test. What happened was, is first Moshe Rabbeinu says, I want you to know, Kairach, that if you die like Im Kamais Kal Adam Yamus and Eila, if you die like everyone else, I didn't send it, but if you know, if the earth opens up, then you know that that's where the real thing. So what does it say in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, right before it opens up? So the Pasuk tells us, V'edaber Shem al-Maish v'l-Aaron Lamer, He badlu mitaycha eda hazais, separate yourself from this wicked group, v'achalav sam karoga, and I'm going to destroy them in a minute. Okay? That's what the Pasuk tells. Again, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, separate yourself, and I'm going to destroy them in a minute. So he asks, why did Hashem tell Moshe Rabbeinu to separate themselves from the Eda? They were big tzaddikim. They could have stood right in the middle, and around them were like a vacuum cleaner that sucked everybody up, threw them into the ground, and Moshe Aaron would have stood there. Why did Hashem tell Moshe Aaron to go away from them? Why couldn't Moshe Aaron just stay there and they would have gone into the ground around them? What was the reason for that?
They were good. Why should he also go in the ground?
No. Hashem could have sent everyone in the ground without Moshe Aaron. In other words, why did Moshe Aaron have to physically remove himself and walk away?
You mean just he shouldn't have come there, period?
Moshe Aaron was standing with Kairach and arguing with him, right?
Right.
And Hashem comes along and says, "Stay, get away from them, I'm about to swallow them all up." Why did Hashem tell Moshe and Aaron to go away from them? Moshe and Aaron were so great that Hashem could have put them in the ground. The people needed to go on the ground, and Moshe and Aaron could have stood there and nothing would have happened to them. Why did they need to walk away? Why did Hashem say, "He bought them to go away from them"?
He wanted the people to see that they were not.
That they were separate? Okay.
Could be. I don't know.
Okay, good. So let's see what he says. Let's see what he says. So he says like this. He brings a Gemara, interesting Gemara in Tainus. Listen to this Gemara. The Gemara says like this. Besura havet decharta. There was once a plague in Sura, the city of Rav. Beshevusa de Rav lavet debarta. But in the plague did not affect the neighborhood where Rav lived. Savru mineis, everyone thought, mishum schusi de Rav. They thought it's because of the merit of Rav, the nafesh schusi, he's such a great man. So Yischazi Leib Kalma, so these people had a dream. All these people thought it was Rav had a dream. What did the dream say? Listen to this. Rav, the Nafesh Tzchusei Tuva, Halmilsa Zutusei L'Rav. Rav has a lot of greatness. For him to save these people wouldn't have been a big deal. Not a big deal. El Mishum Ahu Gavrib, the reason they were saved was not because of Rav. It was because somebody else. The Shail Morazvil L'Kfura. Because he used to lend people tools when they needed to bury people. So they don't have, it's not like today where you have a union that comes and would attract the guy and some mice, and you have these guys with long hair and the tattoos that do it for you. In those days, everybody did it for themselves. So he lent them. So he had a big schus. That's why they were saved. So the question is obvious. Why was the purpose of them coming and saying that Rav, it's not because of Rav, it's because of this other person? What's the difference? Rav, not Rav. They were saved. There was nothing. What were they trying to tell these people in their dream? What was the purpose of it all? So the Yarish Dvash, Rabbi Yonason Eibschutz, one of the great minds of Klal Yisrael, said like this. He says, why did it not come to a... Why does a plague not come to where the tzaddik is? He says, because we have a yesoid that says when a plague happens, kivan shenit l'rishus l'mashkas, l'hashkas, once the mashkas, once the destroyer gets permission to destroy, he doesn't take the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha. It's all the same. Tzaddik, rasha, you know, it goes into the realm of teva, and he's destroyed. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want the tzaddik to be hurt. So he keeps it away from the tzaddik. He keeps that the tzaddik's area, it shouldn't happen. Because if the tzaddik's amongst the rishoyim, so it can happen to him too. He says, but that's only when it's not a tzaddik gomer, when it's a regular tzaddik. But a tzaddik gomer can stand right in the middle of the rishoyim and nothing's going to happen to him. So he says, what the Gemara was saying is, Rav was so great that Hashem wouldn't have protected the people. Because Rav could stand there and everybody could get killed and Rav would not. It was in the schus of the other tzaddik who wasn't a tzaddik gomer, the man who went and helped people bury people. It's in his schus that Hashem kept it away from the entire neighborhood. So he says the same thing over here. Moshe and Aaron were so great that they could have stood amongst the people. They could have stood there. Because their schusim were so great, they were such tzaddikim that Hashem could have done it. So why did he taka not do it? Why did he just make it? He says, because achalo sam kiroga. We have to, because what's the rest of the pasuk? Hashem says, stay away in order that I can destroy them right now. What does that mean? Because the Yetzirah, the Satan, the Malach HaMavis is afraid of Moshe V'Aaron. And when he would come there and he'd see Moshe V'Aaron, he'd say, oh, I'm not so sure I'm ready for this. I got to prepare. Moshe V'Aaron are great people. So Hashem said, go away so I can destroy them immediately. That's what he meant to say. Very interesting. That's what the element means. Taras atziva ha'yisa. V'chalas ha'mkirog, destroy them away. She'adayin Moshe V'Aaron b'toich eid, if they would have been there, ha'yam amashis mismame b'shlichusav l'mar li'farmi m'rashayim, he wouldn't have done it right away. Because his kayach would have been weakened from the great kedusha of these gedolei hadar. Once they stepped away, right away came in. Where do we see this? By Nochem Ish Gamzu, right? Similar story. It says Nochem Ish Gamzu, when they came to visit him, I think it's Nochem Ish Gamzu, when they came to visit him, he was living in a churva, and it was about to fall over. And they stood there, and they came to visit him, and he said, you leave first. And they were surprised. What do you mean, when, after he finished the visit, you leave first? Why can't he leave? They wanted him to go out first, because he's the god. He said, no, you leave first. So they leave. As soon as he walks out the door, the whole thing falls down. So they said, whoa, what happened over here? He said, because it was Nitzchus, it was still standing up. The minute he left, it fell down. So Moshe and Aaron, the very standing over there, they would have scared off the Malach HaMavis, and he wouldn't have done it. That's how we understand it. Pasuk Chav Beis, we'll go one more Pasuk. So it says, then Vayipla Pneim, Moshe and Aaron fall in, Vayimru, so he said, they dive, now Moshe Rabbeinu goes back into his classic mode. They went into the ground. They're going to go into the ground. But he says, everybody should die? Right? What did the other people? Valkola ate the tick stuff? You're going to be angry at everybody? Why is that? Only a few people did it. So he says, amazing pshat. He asked the question, why does it say Ha'ish Echad Yechata? One man. It's saying ha'ish yachata. If a man sins, why should everybody be punished? What's the concept of echad? So he says like this. He says, what makes the Jewish people unique? What makes us, one of the things that makes us special is the achdus. Yeah. Is the achdus of Klal Yisrael. Is that Klal Yisrael, we do not look at ourselves as a bunch of people who happen to be living in the same neighborhood, or we happen to be living in the same country, and therefore we become, if you take somebody who's a Polish citizen, and they move into the United States, or within a generation or two, he's no longer a Polish, he's now an American. Because his allegiance to the people that he was with, just because he happened to be there. When he leaves, there's no thing there. We said, once the chaver is in the word chibur. We mentioned this, that a chaver is somebody that you have a chibur, you have a connection with, for whatever reason. You're in the same class, you're in the same neighborhood, you're in the same country. But when that leaves, your chibur is gone. You're not a chaver anymore. A yadid, we said, is yad yad, is two people who are inextricably linked. So the Klal Yisrael, we're like one. We're mamsh mishpucha. It's an amazing thing. You know, I know when I travel, I'm like a magnet for Jewish people, and especially not from people, but like people come over to me all the time because they look, you know, pretty Jewish, and like right away, they want to tell me about their shul, or they want to ask me a kasha and Tanakh. You know, it's an amazing thing because they have a comfort level. It's been from Zay. You know, so we're sitting there. I'll never forget. It was once in a gondola going up to a mountain in California, in the Palm Springs, to the San Ciente Mountain. We're going in this thing, and there's about 80 people in there, and naturally the guy comes over and says, "Nu shalom aleichem, v'smach dayid." Some guy from Toronto. He's not religious, but like he's my best friend because we're yid, we're together. So there's a certain achdus that you do feel. You go anywhere in the world, you see another Jew, and there's a right away. You know, if anything goes wrong on this plane, you two are going to be together. You know, whoever the person is. So he says that's what makes the Klal Yisrael so unique. It says, and that's why it says when Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim, it says Shivan Nefesh Yard of Mitzrayim, 70. Soul. It doesn't say 70 souls, right? If somebody who knows grammar would make a correction, would say, what do you mean? 70 nefesh. It says 70 nefesh. Because we have that achdus, that's what makes Klal Yisrael. And because that's why I can make kiddush for my wife even after I make kiddush. Because why? Because there's a din of arvus. Because so much so that we're considered like one neshama. Which, by the way, means when a yid is Baruch Hashem doing Torah mitzvahs, we all have a chelik in it. And when, unfortunately, there are yidin who are not, we don't think we can separate ourselves from them. They're part of us too, and we have an achrayus to them as well. They're all family. Like in any family, you know, some do better with some, you know, less better with. This is family. This is a real mishpacha.
Kiddush again.
What?
I didn't follow what you said.
If I made kiddush and shul, I made for myself, I can still come home and make kiddush for my wife. Why? I already made kiddush. The answer is because of the din of arvus, the din of kol yisrael arevim, that we're all together. If she didn't make kiddush, it's like I didn't make kiddush. That means some part of me did not make kiddush. I have not, until every Jew in Klal Yisrael makes kiddush, I didn't finish making kiddush. That's what it means. I can make kiddush 100. I can go to walk around to everybody's house and make kiddush for them. Why? Because they didn't make kiddush. I didn't make kiddush. So if they're yidden who didn't do mitzvahs, means I didn't really finish doing the mitzvah. Because we're all together. That's the achdus of a Klal Yisrael. And it includes everybody except one type of person. A bal machlokes. Somebody who takes themselves out of Klal Yisrael. Somebody who fights. That's a person who does not have that din of echad. That's a person who's outside of the pale. So he says, that's the pshat. Ha'ish echad, somebody who's in the achdus of Klal Yisrael, an ish echad, somebody who believes in that achdus, is part of that achdus, he does a sin everybody shouldn't suffer for it. But if a person like Kairach, and the people with him, they made a machlokes, they separated themselves. Once they separated themselves, they lose that kayach of the achdus of Klal Yisrael Rachman Ritzlan. And that's why machlokes is such a terrible thing, because machlokes is what breaks, it goes to the very core, to the fundamental core of what the Jewish people are. What the Jewish people are is achdus, is being together, and somebody makes a machlokes, breaks that fundamental core of Klal Yisrael, that's the worst thing the person can do, and he really takes himself out of the Klal Yisrael. So where does he go? So that's why the Tiftacher as Pia, he went into the ground. Because the ground is also a sense of achdus. The ground is the entire world is one. It says, there's a Gemara, it says, Sadna da'ar echadu. The whole world is really one place. If you're in this place, you're in that place, you're ultimately in the same world together. We all share one world together. And he did not keep that inyan of achdus. He destroyed the achdus, and therefore his punishment is that the ground, which represents an achdus, swallows him up. And that's what happened to Karach V'Adasa. So ish echad, if an achdus person sins, should everybody be punished. But somebody like a Karach really went, that's why Karach was so bad. So you can, and the lesson of Karach is an incredible lesson, because Karach was a great man. You know, we think of a Baal Machlokes as somebody who's not a great man. But a great man don't do these things. But the answer is that Kairach, as great as he was, fell into this union of Machlaikas, and that's what's so destructive. And Mirz Hashem, in the next vort, we'll see a beautiful understanding of understanding what Kairach was. And the truth is that what was the Takana? What was the Takana?
But if they
what?
Were part of it, what? Why did they get...
They were the ones who were part of it. No, Moshe Rabbeinu was worried that everybody was going to get swallowed up. This was going to become a destruction of all Klal Yisrael. But the ones who weren't, who made themselves separate from the Klal Yisrael, they could get destroyed. And that's, I think, the reason why, if you take a look weiter, what is the tikkun? How did they stop the Magefa? What was the way in which Moshe Rabbeinu, the Ribbono Shel Olam, said to stop the Magefa? So what did he tell Aaron? He told Aaron, "Kach, take the matah, take the fire pan, and in that way, when you take the matah, you're makad the katayrus, that's what stopped the Magefa. There was a plague was starting, and people were going to die. But what happened? Aaron picked up the machta. Why was the katayrus such a thing that had such power to stop this magefa? Because what's the katayrus? How many things are in the katayrus? How many components? 11. The 11th is called chelbana. The 11th is called something called galbanum, whatever that is. It's foul smelling. And the Chazal say, why is it part of the katayrus? To teach us a lesson. That everybody is part of the Klal Yisrael. Even if a person is a Rasha, he's part of Klal Yisrael. And therefore we include him in the Ketairis. And the Ketairis is what the Kohen Gadol goes into the Lifnai Lifnim and Yom Kippur. To show that Achdus and Klal Yisrael is so important, and includes everybody, even the Rishayim and Klal Yisrael, even the Avaryanim, even the people who are doing Averis, they're all part of us. So you have 11, it's interesting, the number 11 is not just Stam. You have 10 as an Eda. 10 already is a minion. You don't need the 11th. You could have a minion, you could say Kaddish with 10. But it's telling you really don't have. 10's not enough unless you have the 11th. You have to have the other people with you. You have to have all of Klal Yisrael. So, Kairach broke the Achdus of Klal Yisrael by Machlaikas. What's the Tikkun? The Ketairus, which represents the Achdus, represents the unity of Klal Yisrael. And that unity of Klal Yisrael is what we do. That's the highest level of Avoida on Yom Kippur, in the Kodesh Kedoshim, by the Kohen Gadol, on the holiest day of the year. Because the Achdus, that is really what makes Klal Yisrael Klal Yisrael. That's ultimately who we are. So therefore, the Eitzah was the Ketairus. And that's why the test was with the Ketairus. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, what are you 250 people doing? He could have made another test, maybe he'd had them all shecht to Behema, and see if the Mizbeach, the Eish would come to Mizbeach. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, you're all together, we have to be together, you're separating yourselves. I'm going to give you a test, we're going to take that thing, the Ketairus, that thing which represents Achdus, and let's see what happens to you when you abuse it. You abuse the Achdus of Klal Yisrael, you're going to be punished. And that way, the Ketairus is both the test of the 250, and it was also the answer to the 250. And that's how we understand this concept of Achdus and how important it is in Klal Yisrael. And this is really the ultimate lesson of Parshas Kairach. That Kairach was breaking the Achdus of Klal Yisrael. The 250 men were breaking the Achdus. The Ketairus was the test, and the Ketairus was also what they were going to be judged with and what was going to save the Klal Yisrael and stop the Magefa. Okay, and finally, I would like to say something that this is very, very, very interesting. Let's go to Pasuk Chof Ches and Chof Ches. Okay, I don't know. They probably didn't put it. There's usually a piece over there. So I apologize. Okay, Pasuk Chof Ches. Vayomer Moshe, and Moshe says, don't. Bezayis teidun. We'll get quiet now. Bezayis teidun ki Hashem shalchani lasis is called hamasim ha'elu ki loy milibi. You should know. He says to them, you should know. I didn't do it on my own. Hashem told me. Im kamayis kol adim yuseilu. They'll all die a normal death. Or pekudas kol adim yipaket aleimen. The regular things that happen to all people. Loy Hashem shalchani lo. Vam biyriya yivra. But if we make a new bria, a new thing, then I'm right. Otherwise, they're right. Moshe Rabbeinu puts himself on the line. And of course, as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu finishes, the earth opens up, And they all go, as they say, in Dreher D'Rhein.
Very scary.
It must have been very frightening. And it closes up, it opens, it closes, and that's the end of them. So we asked the question before. And the question was, what is this machlokes all about? What was going on here? Kairach and the 250 people had opposite reasons. They had two different things in mind. Kairach had in mind, I agree that Shevet Levi is the right Shevet, but what do I want? Elish the Sarvash Hu Aroi, Lios the Kohen Gadol. I want to be Kohen Gadol. Who's Aaron? Me. And therefore, why did you choose Aaron? Because it was your brother. So he claimed nepotism, which Lechairah, I mean, is not a bad claim. I mean, it looks bad. But Hashem said so. So we know, we believe that Hashem said that Aaron was the right man for it. And therefore he was. And maybe Hashem saw that Aaron's children would be the right people. Whatever the reason was, that was the tine of Kairach. But Kairach agreed that Shevet Levi was the Shevet that should become the people of the Beis HaMikdash, the people of the Mishkan, the people who are the holy people of Klal Yisrael. The 250 people had exactly the opposite. The 250 people were saying, because they were mostly from Shevet Reuven, and they were saying, why is Shevet Levi so special? Why should they be the ones to be Makrib Ketairus? We should be Makrib Ketairus. So the question is, what were Kairach and thus and the 250 doing in the same machlokes? They actually had very different ideas about how to go forward. That's the kasha. So he says like this. He brings from the Sefer Reishis Chochma a maisa. It's not a true maisa. I guess it's a moshel more than a maisa. It says the kanoi and the chamdon were walking together. What's the kanoi? So it's interesting. We always think of a kanoi, we think of Pinchas as a kanoi. But really when you look at the etymology of the word kanoi, a kanoi means a jealous person. Somebody's filled with kin is a kanoi. So really, Pinchas, when we say he's a kanoi, he was a kanoi for the right reason. He was jealous for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what does a jealous person mean? A jealous person means it's not so much that I want to have, it's I don't want someone else to have. I'm jealous that they have and I don't have. A chamdon, he doesn't really care about the other person so much. He's only interested, he wants things. He has chemed, he desires lots of things. So each of them have a different type of issue, you know, that they're dealing with. That Kanoi is dealing with the issue that he can't forgive anybody, as we like to say. I can't forgive someone else's success. If someone has more money than me, I can't take it. I could be rich like Kairach, but if he's richer than Kairach, then I have a problem because I want to be the richest. So a person, a Kanoi, that's why it says that a kin might see a son of another, because somebody who falls into Kanoi can never be happy. There's always somebody to be smarter, somebody to be prettier, there's always to be somebody richer. That's the way the world works. It's very hard to be the tops in everything. Even if you're the richest, you're maybe not so good at something else. So the Kanoi is never happy. The Chamdan is never happy for another reason. He doesn't care about the other person, but he's always worried about himself. So they were walking down the street. So the king comes to them, and the king meets them, and the king says to them, listen, you know, I like you guys, so I want to give one of you anything you ask me for. Whatever you ask for, I'm going to give you. And the other one of you, I'm going to give double what the first one asked for. So I'm going to give you double. So, of course, the one who goes second, Lechar, is doing better. So they start fighting over it. You know, this one says, I want to go. So what does the Balkina says? The Balkanoi says, Chamdan. Ketzed uchel liru shata mekabel pishnai meni. We can't do this. I can't see that you're going to get double from me. Because remember, the Kanoi is worried about the other guy. And the Chamdan says back to him, to the Kanoi, how can it be mevatr on double? I need double for myself. So each one's looking at it from their own view. So he says, what happened in the end? So they're fighting back and forth, and finally the Chamdan makes it over the Kanoi. And the Kanoi has to go first. So the Kanoi tells the king, you know what I want? I want you should take out one of my eyes. Because he knows that therefore he'll take out two from the other guy. And he says, how? So he says, you see how mechur, how disgusting the meat of kin is. I'm willing to lose half my eyesight. Chachik, he should lose double. That's all I want. It's a famous maisa with the Chavetz Chaim. Somebody got into machloikis, and the Chavetz Chaim told him, you should know if you keep up this machloikis, it says in the Chazal, your wife's going to, and your children, and he says, Rebbe, I don't care. As long as I can bagrub that other guy, I, everything. I don't care if my whole family, I don't care if I want this guy bagrub. That's how big the siddur was. He says that's what was motivating Kairach. What was motivating Kairach was not his own desire for greatness. What was motivating Kairach was his blinding kinna of Moshe Rabbeinu. He couldn't forgive that he didn't make it to the top and Moshe Rabbeinu did. And therefore it was like Thomas Nafshi and Plishtim, he was willing to let everything go just to destroy Moshe Rabbeinu, bring Moshe Rabbeinu down. So he said he knew that Moshe Rabbeinu, how great he was. And he knew if he took on Moshe Rabbeinu by himself, it wouldn't be good for him, because Moshe Rabbeinu would overwhelm him. So what he did is he took on the 250 people to be with him. And he said as follows. He says, if I die, but they live, because he didn't see that they would be punished, he says, then brings down Moshe Rabbeinu, because they say, they're really saying, Kolam Kulam Kadosh, all Shemotim are equal, we should all serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who are you, Moshe Rabbeinu? So I brought down Moshe Rabbeinu. And if they get killed and I live, well, so then again, Moshe Rabbeinu, then I've proven, you see, all my tainas are right. And he says, and even if he kills us both, and we all die, people won't say it's because Moshe Rabbeinu was in Sayyid Me. They'll say because I brought 250 people to bring Ezar on the base of Migdash, and therefore I was punished for that. But not because Moshe Rabbeinu was greater than me. So he was thinking of all different ways. How can I make it that I can bring down Moshe Rabbeinu? I can't take that Moshe Rabbeinu should have the gadol where I am not. So he says that's why he wanted them to do it. And Moshe Rabbeinu comes back and he says, if they die a regular death, k'mais kol ha'adam, that means they die the same death as the other men. Kol ha'adam, meaning the other people, not any people, but these 250 people, then I'm wrong. But you're going to see that they are two different groups, and they have two different things in mind. The group of the 250 wanted Kedusha. They wanted to track it, become bigger. They were holy, because they said, we want to be holy just like the Leviim are holy. That's the type of kin that we like. That's the kin of Sifrim. He says, but the kin of Kairach was a purely kinna that was based not on the desire to be holy, it was pure jealousy. And that's jealousy that has to be wiped out. And that's ultimately what it says in the Mishnah, a machlaikas, which is l'shem shemayim, is hil v'shamayim. Shaloi l'shem shemayim, what does it mean it was l'shem shemayim? It doesn't mean machlaikas be'etzen, that you have to be milquetoast to let people step in. It doesn't mean a person, there's sometimes a machlaikas is the right thing. But it can't be a machlaikas which is because of kinna. And unfortunately, most machlaikas have a strong element of kinna. It's not because of the person himself wants to grow, but he just can't take that the other person shouldn't grow, because otherwise, why is he fighting with him? That's why he's fighting, because he wants to see the other person brought down. And that's the lesson that we learn from Kairach. We learn that lesson that an unbridled kinna, the kanoi, in the bad sense of kanoi, is something that can bring a person down. So we see all the tremendous lessons. We saw the lesson of the Shemesh. We saw the lesson of the son, that Moshe Rabbeinu was like the gentle son of the biker. We saw that he said, "Bibadim b'toicha eda," because they were tzaddikim gemurim. They couldn't last long. We saw the achdus when he says the ish echad, the achdus that really makes Kal Yisrael. We understand why the Ketairus both was the one that was the test, and why the Ketairus was the one that saved the Kal Yisrael. And now we see that the kin of Kairach was really what brought him down. They should help us that we should learn this parsha really well, because there's so many lessons for us in our life, and hopefully when we'll take away from those lessons, will become like Moshe and not like Kairach. Okay, I think we ended the time. Okay. Oh, okay. Thank you for staying. Okay.
Thank you all.
Okay. Call to have a good Shabbos. Yeah. Again, the fighting is not good. Should we go to Mitzvah? Should we?